Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is June 12, 2007. We have a number of things to take a look at this morning, including an article by Paul Gottfried entitled The Giuliani-Driven Christians. What's going on with the Christian right? How bankrupt is the mainstream of that movement? What does it really mean that the Christian right seems to be cutting an alliance with Rudolph Giuliani? That's something that Paul Gottfried covers this morning at lourockwell.com. We're going to be taking a look at that in a little bit this morning. All kinds of other things that we could be speaking about, of course, including the fact that when we look at what's going on in the world, it clearly looks like a very difficult time. In Afghanistan, the United States mistakenly has killed some police officers. That's a lead story with CNN. We discover today that the suicide risk is double for male U.S. veterans. Not a surprising development there. And, of course, there is a main story at CNN, which is the lead story there. It indicates that a Palestinian leader's home has been targeted as fighting rages. The House of Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh came under rocket-propelled grenade fire Tuesday morning, a Hamas media office said. There were no injuries in that attack, but at least 15 people have died in factional fighting since Monday morning, including the top Fatah official in northern Gaza, according to Fatah sources. It's going to be interesting to watch that and to try and come to grips with who may be manipulating that entire set of circumstances from behind the scenes. Quite clearly, this is something that we're going to have to be watching in coming days as the situation in Palestine, the one in Mesopotamia, and the one that is rumored to be just around the corner with Iran continue to affect the foreign policy of this country and vice versa. And clearly, the young people of the United States who presently serve in the armed forces of this country might be contemplating the extent to which their involvement in the armed forces of the United States has a very, very difficult and conflictual agenda for many of them, in that it would seem that there is a circumstance transpiring where what we are involved with in the Middle East once again has to be evaluated as far as whether or not it involves an America First policy. And if it doesn't, how does one's involvement in the armed forces of the country square with policies that may not be, strictly speaking, in the national security interest of the nation, or specifically in the interest of the expression of constitutional values according to the original intent of the Founding Fathers? That's something that's not going to go away. Here's a strange story from some days ago. I wanted to cover this yesterday, but I had to be away for some personal family reasons, helping the wife with some medical issues. Wanted to mention this one a couple of days ago in the show. I don't know quite what to make of it. CBS5.com is reporting that the Pentagon confirms that it sought to build a gay bomb. We'll be talking about this in a little while this morning on the show, because it's curious that a story as strange as this one would be coming out in the mainstream media. Perhaps what it suggests is that there are some things going on in the national security establishment of the United States that bear closer scrutiny in terms of sanity, in terms of sound public policy, and in terms of revealing some things about the national security establishment that might not be consonant with constitutional thinking, with thinking that is oriented toward an America First policy, toward protecting the fundamental liberties of the American people. Is the national security establishment of the United States something that should always be supported? Should we look askance at some of its dynamics? Should we be suspicious of some of the things that go on in the name of national security that may have nothing to do with anything that we would define traditionally as an America First foreign policy, or a foreign policy that is rooted in a national security establishment that actually understands its parameters? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Tuesday, the 12th of June, 2007. Again, a number of things to talk about this morning. Wanted to mention to you that in a couple of days, we have a couple of significant authors who are going to be on. Barrett Tillman is going to come on Thursday, June 14th, that's 2 days from now, to be discussing his book on the Marianas and that famous campaign from the Second World War. It's entitled Clash of the Carriers. That's his book dealing with the Marianas. He's going to be speaking about these things on Flag Day, June 14th. If you were involved in the Marianas campaign in the Second World War, or have a relative or friend who was, or are simply interested in that particular aspect of World War II military history, you'll be interested in this show on Thursday. That is Barrett Tillman discussing his book Clash of the Carriers. We had him on quite a number of weeks ago when he was speaking about his new release for Palgrave Macmillan entitled LeMay, speaking of General Curtis LeMay, and that volume, the significance of that volume for the so-called Great General series for Palgrave Macmillan. And then Friday, June 15th, I have had this gentleman scheduled for quite some period of time. Normally we have Mark Glenn and Father Martinez coming on Fridays. We will resume with that 1 week from Friday, the 22nd of June. This Friday morning, we're going to have John Dominic Crossan on the show to discuss his book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. John Dominic Crossan is a professor emeritus at DePaul University, widely regarded by some as the foremost historical Jesus scholar of our time. I'll say more about that later on this morning. But this whole business about God and empire, Jesus against Rome, then and now, is something that we're going to be taking a closer look at with this author on Friday. This book comes to us from Harper San Francisco, which is a division of HarperCollins Publishers. Seems to me that this is something that more and more people are taking a look at. What is truly in the realm of Caesar? What is truly in the realm of Jesus and the kingdom of God? I think that that's a very clear, fundamental theological question, not simply for Christians, not simply for those who are involved with all kinds of deep New Testament theological concepts, but obviously that this is something that is going to affect every American, because for those who have ideas related to kingdom of Caesar and kingdom of God that are not necessarily sound ideas, those things tend to express themselves in terms of historical and political tragedy. Many of us could be living right in the middle of that time frame right now in regard to ideas that are not strictly speaking sound ideas as far as the New Testament goes, when it relates again to Caesar and Jesus and the respective realms of both. John Dominic Crossan is going to be discussing that with us on Friday in terms of his whole book, God and Empire. I am going to speak to Mark Glenn later today, hopefully, to get caught up with Mark in regard to what he went through this last weekend with the USS Liberty Conference, and seeing if he might have some time to spend with us tomorrow. And then, of course, get back to our normal Friday schedule, both with Mark and with Father Martinez, 1 week from tomorrow, or I'm sorry, 1 week from Friday, which would make that reengagement the 22nd of June. But a number of things that we could talk about today in the news. I want to get back to a couple of things that relate to very strange goings-on in the national security establishment. Hank Plant of a CBS 5 in Berkeley is talking about something as of the 8th of June that is one of the stranger stories that I've seen in a while as it relates to actual research that goes on in the realm of the American national security establishment. The title of this story from June 8th is Pentagon confirms it sought to build a gay bomb, quote-unquote. Plant reports that a Berkeley watchdog organization that tracks military spending said it uncovered a strange U.S. military proposal to create a hormone bomb that could purportedly turn enemy soldiers into homosexuals and make them more interested in sex than fighting. Pentagon officials on Friday confirmed to CBS 5 the military leaders had considered and then subsequently rejected building the so-called gay bomb. Edward Hammond of Berkeley's Sunshine Project had used the Freedom of Information Act to obtain a copy of the proposal from the Air Force's Wright Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio. As a part of a military effort to develop non-lethal weapons, the proposal suggested, quote, one distasteful but completely non-lethal example would be strong aphrodisiacs, especially if the chemical also caused homosexual behavior, unquote. The documents show the Air Force Lab, this is a part of the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base complex in Dayton, Ohio, asked for $7.5 million to develop such a chemical weapon. Quote, the Ohio Air Force Lab proposed that a bomb be developed that contained a chemical that would cause enemy soldiers to become gay and to have their units break down because all their soldiers became irresistibly attractive to one another, Hammond said after reviewing the documents. The notion was that a chemical that would be probably pleasant in the human body in low quantities could be identified, and by virtue of either breathing or having their skin exposed to this chemical, The notion was that soldiers would become gay, explained Hammond. The Pentagon told CBS 5 that the proposal was made by the Air Force in 1994. Quote, the Department of Defense is committed to identifying, researching, and developing non-lethal weapons that will support our men and women in uniform, said a DOD spokesman, who indicated that the gay bomb idea was quickly dismissed. However, Hammond said the government records he obtained suggest the military gave the plan much stronger consideration than it has acknowledged. Quote, the truth of the matter is it would have never come to my attention if it was dismissed at the time it was proposed, he said. In fact, the Pentagon has used it repeatedly and subsequently in an effort to promote non-lethal weapons, and in fact, they submitted it to the highest scientific review body in the country for them to consider, unquote. Military officials insisted Friday to CBS 5 that they are not currently working on any such idea and that the past plan was abandoned. Gay community leaders in California said Friday that they found the notion of a gay bomb both offensive and almost laughable at the same time. Quote, throughout history, we have had so many brave men and women who are gay and lesbian serving the military with distinction, unquote, said Jeff Kors of Equality California. So it's just offensive that they think by turning people gay that the other military would be incapable of doing their job. And it's absurd because there's so much medical data that shows that sexual orientation is immutable and cannot be changed, unquote. There's some homosexual, militant homosexual rights propaganda, of course, that's coming forth to us from CBS Broadcasting Incorporated in conjunction with a most bizarre story coming from CBS 5 in Berkeley, indicating that the Pentagon at one time was researching this incredibly bizarre idea about building a gay bomb to develop homosexual tendencies in enemy soldiers. This proposal was actually being looked at with some degree of seriousness at some level by the Air Force's technology operation at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. Truly an indication, I think, that Matthias Chang is absolutely correct in the last two books that he has written, which I've been looking at in some detail in recent days, trying to get ready for some a further conversation on the Matthias Chang angle on the national security establishment of the so-called Anglo-Zionist Empire. When we consider the extent to which some of these institutions have absolutely gone awry in regard to original intent purposes and in regard to doing something that relates to good rather than evil, quite clearly this CBS 5 story suggests that not all is well with the national security establishment of the United States. It begs a question which we've looked at before on this show, and it's this. Why is it that so much of the American right, after the Second World War, has supported the so-called national security establishment in virtually anything that it has done? Do we not see evidence of an establishment that from time to time has not been accountable to the American people or to the Constitution or to the Congress? Do we not see evidence of a situation where from time to time the American national security establishment is exposed as being involved in something that is truly strange, that does not involve good common sense or constitutional logic or a military and foreign policy that relates to things that we can truly support as Americans? I think the CBS 5 story is suggestive that as strange as this whole report is, it's indicative of much more difficult problems ahead when it comes to keeping tabs on a military and intelligence establishment that the so-called American right has had a reflexive support of since the end of the Second World War, much to our own detriment as a nation. Let's take a look as real American conservatives at the American national security establishment, where it's pursuing things that are truly consonant with a strong national defense and with an intelligence establishment that is truly operating according to proper parameters, then by all means, that's something that we need. When it's acting in a fashion that threatens our most fundamental values, then we need to speak out against that. And certainly after the Second World War, left and right and middle have tended to be confused on some of these subjects. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be be taking a look at some things from Ramsey Baroud and Mike Whitney and Paul Gottfried and William Norman Grigg when we come back. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Series of news items to cover today. You can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443 if you have any questions or comments. We're going to do news summary today. We're going to be with Barrett Tillman on Thursday, the 14th of June. John Dominic Crossan, author of God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now, on Friday the 15th. May have Mark Lynn tomorrow. I haven't talked to Mark yet about this to see if he might have some time tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th. We'll get back to our normal Friday gig with him a week from Friday, and also have Father Martinez on with Mark Lynn a week from Friday. But this John Dominic Crossan thing has been scheduled for some time and needs to happen. day after tomorrow. And, of course, Barrett Tillman will be with me on Thursday. It'll be fun to have some good conversation with both of those authors about various things going on in their lives right now as it relates to their research, both past and present, with things that are always fun to take a look at because it gets into the bottom of some things that quite clearly involve some significant things historically that give us a good take on things going on right now in regard to our present situation. And we will be with those guys Thursday, June 14th. That's Mr. Tillman, Barrett Tillman on Thursday, John Dominic Crossan on Friday. Number of things going on as it relates to Russia. I wanted to mention some things specifically today from Mike Whitney's publication, which you can find at globalresearch.ca, and it's entitled Putin's Censored Press Conference. Before I get into that, once again, we are reminded that there may be a larger context behind what Whitney tells us today at globalresearch.ca. And this reminder comes to us from the Reverend Ted Pike. His post is entitled, Jewish Activists Created Communism. You know, I've mentioned before, and Ted Pike's been a past guest on this show, that when we look at this whole business of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, it raises some very important questions and points that virtually no one wants to talk about now. As a matter of fact, going back just a handful of years, the so-called Global Anti-Semitism Act that Mr. Bush signed into law says that the State Department created Anti-Semitic Review Commission deems a number of things to be inherently anti-Semitic. And as we look at that whole legislation, Ted Pike's conversations with us today about Jewish activists being directly involved in fomenting the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia would qualify as such a bit of so-called anti-Semitism. This quite clearly is nonsense, but that is what the law says. And this is a very ominous development, of course, as it relates to freedom of speech. And I think the Global Anti-Semitism Act is quite clearly a precursor to other things that may yet happen in regard to hate crimes legislation. And in coming days, Greg Felton is going to be a regular on this show on Mondays, probably as early as this coming Monday. Greg, of course, has written the book The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. He's up in the British Columbia, Vancouver area. This very important Dandelion Books publication covers a lot of things that explain why we are where we are in the Middle East today and why we are moving domestically in the direction of police state policies. Suffice it to say that one of the things I'd like to talk to Greg Felton about, maybe as early as Monday when he's on the show, is this whole business of the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, which goes back not a very long period of time, actually. If you go back, just a couple of years, I think, 2004 to be exact, October the 16th of that year, we discovered that Mr. Bush signed this this very bizarre legislation into law. It is designed to force the entire world, basically, into never being critical of the Jewish people or of the nation of Israel. This act establishes a special department within the United States State Department to monitor global anti-Semitism, and this act has defined a series of things as being inherently anti-Semitic, 14 tenets in particular. And as you look at these tenets, tenet number 11 is that anyone who offers proof that the Jews and their leaders created communism and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia is inherently an anti-Semite. According to that definition, of course, Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network would be an anti-Semite. I think that this is utterly ridiculous, but this is according to the Global Anti-Semitism Act of 2004. When we come back, I want to take a look at Ted's essay in regard to this whole business of Jewish activists and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. then I'm going to glance at Mike Whitney's piece for globalresearch.ca titled Putin's Censored Press Conference. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, taking a look at a series of news stories today. And then Thursday, Barrett Tillman will be on to discuss his book, Clash of the Carriers. John Dominic Crossan will join us Friday to chat about his new book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. In regard to the Crossan appearance on Friday, I just wanted to say that there are going to be some points of intersection between that guest and myself. I am confident in regard to this whole business of God and Empire, as well as some points of divergence. I would suspect that I would have quite a bit in common with some of what John Dominic Crossan would have to tell us about the dangers of mixing the kingdom of Caesar with the kingdom of God in regard to some of his other perceptions about the historic, so-called historical Jesus and this whole business of the inspiration of the Old and New Testament. There might be some real divergence there, but I don't think that the latter conversation is going to come too much into play here, because we're going to be focusing upon the main topic of this book that he's come out with for Harper San Francisco, which deals again with God and empire. That will be a very important show on Friday, keeping in mind that this is an example of a topic where there can be some real convergence between left and right. And I think that that's good, at the same time that we have to keep in mind that for those of us on the theological and political and cultural right, that there are some important points of divergence with the left that cannot be bridged. And I think that this is certainly something that undoubtedly would come into play in regard to this conversation with Mr. Crossan on Friday, that the points of convergence that he and I would have in terms of the realms of Caesar and Jesus are not necessarily points of convergence at all when it comes to certain other topics related to the so-called historical Jesus and the extent to which the historical Jesus either is or is not the same Jesus Christ that appears in the Scriptures. This goes back to an important concept that one sees in some of these so-called liberal and neo-Orthodox theologians of the 20th century, this attempt to distinguish between the Jesus of history and the Jesus of Scripture and the Jesus of faith. Most Orthodox Christians see all three as the same thing, but certain theologians distinguish between these different conceptions of Jesus Christ in a way that certainly does not reflect my own theology. I might get into a little bit of that with Crossan on Friday, but I suspect that the main portion of the show is simply going to deal with the topic of the new book, God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. Let's get back into this whole business then of so-called anti-Semitism. I'm reminded once more, of course, as I've been doing just a little bit of research in this whole business of the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act of October the 16th, 2004, that Mr. Bush signed into law a series of things that make you or I, in many instances, so-called anti-Semites. This is inherently preposterous in my view. It's also designed to move in the direction of the extreme ostracizing of anyone who does not buy the Israeli lobby's line, either in terms of domestic or foreign policy. Quite clearly, the case that this is what's going on with this Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, and one of the things that it ostracizes and is perilously close to criminalizing is the sort of conversation that Ted Pike gives us at the National Prayer Network that I think is absolutely on target, absolutely viable, when it makes certain connections and connects the dots between so-called Jewish activists and the phenomenon known as communism. Ted tells us that as the Christian persecuting federal hate bill dangerously waits in the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Jewish Forward says most of the American Jewish community is mobilized to get it passed. They are pressuring President Bush not to honor his pledge to evangelicals to veto it. You may ask, what's the problem? Jews are an infinitesimal 1.5% of the American population. What can they do? Plenty. A Jewish population of exactly that percentage brought communism to Russia. The most murderous and anti-Christ system the world has ever known, having starved to death or slaughtered over 150 million, was overwhelmingly inspired and birthed by a tiny minority of Jews. The Jewish Encyclopedia, in its article Socialism, page 418, frankly points out that, quote, Jews have been prominently identified with the modern socialist movement from its very inception, unquote. Scientific socialism, or what we call communism, says the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia in its article on socialism, quote, originated in the combination of Jewish messianic feeling with German philosophy, unquote. Marx, of course, was Jewish. but just as important, Jews at all levels, from high financiers like the Warburgs, Schiffs, and Rothschilds, to rugged revolutionaries like Trotsky, Kamenev, Sverdlov, and Zinoviev, made the success of communism possible. Gary Allen, in his book None Dare Call It Conspiracy, pages 68 through 75, fingers those key Jewish financiers, especially Max Warburg in Germany and Jacob Schiff in America, who provided millions to arm and subsidize Jewish revolutionaries returning to Russia under the leadership of Trotsky. Schiff, head of the international banking firm of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, now Chase Manhattan, was particularly influential. Quoting the New York Journal America of February the 3rd, 1949, out of Allen's book, quote, "Today it is estimated by Jacob's grandson, John Schiff, that the old man sank about $20 million for the final triumph of Bolshevism in Russia," unquote. Remember, folks, that was when a common wage for adult hard labor was several dollars per day. Let's ease into this controversial subject by introducing some mild yet tantalizing quotes from the authoritative Encyclopedia Judaica's article on communism. Quote, "The communist movement and ideology played an important part in Jewish life, particularly in the 1920s, 1930s, and during and after World War II. Individual Jews played an important role in the early stages of Bolshevism and the Soviet regime. The great attraction of communism among Russian, and later also Western Jewry, emerged only with the establishment of the Soviet regime in Russia," unquote. Ted Pike continues, "How involved were the Jews?" It continues by admitting that the quote-unquote anti-Semitic counteroffensive of the White Russian armies in 1918, quote, "drove the bulk of Russian Jewish youth into the ranks of the Bolshevik regime," unquote. The bulk of Jewish youth. This means that the majority of all young Soviet Jews were communists. Jews, it says, found great opportunity within Bolshevism, quote, "occupying many responsible positions in all branches of the party and state machinery at the central and local seats of power," unquote, page 791. Bolshevism had become the Jewish cause as, again, quoting this article, Ted Pike quoting this article from Encyclopedia Judaica's article on communism, Bolshevism had become the Jewish cause as, quote, "many Jews the world over therefore regarded the Soviet concept of the solution to the Jewish question as an intrinsically positive approach. Communism in support of the Soviet Union thus seemed to many Jews to be the only alternative, and communist trends became widespread in virtually all Jewish communities. In some countries, Jews became the leading element in the legal and illegal communist parties, and in some cases were even instructed by the Communist International to change their Jewish-sounding names and pose as non-Jews, in order not to conform right-wing propaganda that presented communism as an alien Jewish conspiracy." That's page 792 of the Encyclopedia Judaica. Ted Pike then goes on to say that the article goes on to enumerate who many of these Jews, most with Gentile Russian names, actually were. "Here we find most of the giants of Soviet communism, names we have memorized in college history courses as the kingpins of the revolution, without dreaming they were Jews. But making sure of their Jewish identity is very important to the editors of the Encyclopedia Judaica, which is not addressed to Gentiles. It is clear that the editors want Jewish youth today to be aware of their communist heritage. To this end, they not only never criticize anything having to do with communism, but always describe it as a sincere and timely experiment with the greatest social advantages to Jews in Russia. Many Jewish Bolsheviks, persons who helped make possible the bloodiest regime in the history of the world, are dignified with a separate article. Keeping in mind that Jews represented only several percent of the Russian population at that time, the disproportion of Jews in the Communist Party hierarchy is further borne out." Quote, "During the revolution, Jews played a prominent part in the party organs. The Politburo, elected on October the 23rd, 1917, had four Jews among its seven members. The Military Revolutionary Committee, appointed to prepare the coup, was headed by Trotsky and had two Jews among its five members. In the early years of the Soviet regime, Jews were in many leading positions in the government and party machinery," unquote, pages 797 and 798 of the Encyclopedia Judaica. Ted Pike continues, thus 57% of the Politburo at the height of the revolution was Jewish, as well as 40% of the Military Revolutionary Committee. In my video, The Other Israel, I show a photo of the First People's Commissariat. Its five members are all Jewish. Having informed us earlier that because of anti-Semitism, quote-unquote, the, quote, bulk of Jewish youth, unquote, were compelled to join the Bolshevik ranks, the Encyclopedia Judaica goes on to inadvertently clarify why the Russian natives were so bent on anti-Semitic, quote-unquote, activities. The article says that movements toward freedom, called centrifugal nationalist tendencies, quote-unquote, among the nearly enslaved Russian people, quote, inspired the regime to utilize compact Jewish masses in these areas as a counterweight, which would swing the balance in the centralist regime's favor, unquote, page 798. In other words, the bulk of Jewish youth in every outlying hamlet of Russia became the, quote, compact Jewish masses, unquote, whose task it was to forcibly impose and maintain communist slavery upon freedom-loving peoples. Jews and the Russian populace were locked in a death struggle for survival and the future of Russia. Is it any wonder that the white Russians rose up in rage, even to the point of liquidating their oppressors? Who would not have done the same? It was at this time that Lenin himself declared capital punishment for any Russian who criticized Jews, or identified Jewish leaders with Russian names as Jewish. Quote, anti-Semitism was branded as being counter-revolutionary in nature, and persons participating in pogroms or instigating them were outlawed by a special decree issued by the Council of Commissars in July of 1918, signed and personally amended by Lenin to sharpen its tone. A statement against anti-Semitism made by Lenin in March of 1918 was put on a phonograph record to be used in a mass campaign against the counter-revolutionary incitement against the Jews, page 798 of the Encyclopedia Judaica. Ted Pike continues, during this period, intelligence services throughout the free world were buzzing with reports of Jewish involvement in communism. Since an impeccable Jewish source, the Encyclopedia Judaica, has largely convinced us of the importance of Jews to the success of communism, let us briefly consider a small part of the testimony available from a variety of high-level sources. I will present each, Ted Pike says, without comment, but notice how often they describe Bolshevik leadership in much higher figures than the Encyclopedia Judaica, often as high as 90%. Report of the American Expeditionary Forces to Siberia, March 1, 1919. Captain Montgomery Schuyler, speaking of events following the decline of the first provisional government, says, quote, these hopes were frustrated by the gradual gains in power of the more irresponsible and socialistic elements of the population, guided by the Jews and other anti-Russian races. A table made in April of 1918 by Robert Wilton, the correspondent of the London Times in Russia, shows that at the time there were 384 commissars, including two Negroes, 13 Russians, 15 Chinamen, 22 Armenians, and more than 300 Jews. Of the latter number, 264 had come to Russia from the United States since the downfall of the imperial government. Captain Schuyler then provides a personal reflection, quote, it is probably unwise to say this loudly in the United States, but the Bolshevik movement is and has been since its beginning, guided and controlled by Russian Jews of the greatest, greasiest type who have been in the United States, and they're absorbed every one of the worst phases of our civilization without having the least understanding of what we really mean by liberty, unquote. Here's one from the Consul General at Moscow, Summers, to the Secretary of State, Moscow, May the 2nd, 1918, quote, Jews predominant in local Soviet government, anti-Jewish feeling growing among population which tends to regard oncoming Germans as deliverers, unquote. U.S. State Department Report, Foreign Relations, 1918, Russia, Volume 11, page 240, quote, 50% of the Soviet government in each town consists of Jews of the worst type, many of whom are anarchists, unquote. Scotland Yard report to the American Secretary of State, July 23, 1919, quote, there is now definite evidence that Bolshevism is an international movement controlled by Jews. Communications are passing between the leaders in America, France, Russia, and England with a view toward concerted action, unquote. Extract of report from the Netherlands Minister at Petrograd on the 6th of September, 1918, forwarded by Sir M. Findlay at Christiana to Mr. Balfour, unquote. Quote, I consider that the immediate suppression of Bolshevism is the greatest issue now before the world, not even excluding the war that is still raging, and unless, as above stated, Bolshevism is nipped in the bud immediately, it is bound to spread in one form or another over Europe and the whole world, as it is organized and worked by Jews who have no nationality and whose one object is to destroy for their own ends the existing order of things, unquote. Mr. Alliston to Lord Curzon, forwarding report from Council at Ekaterinburg of February 6, 1919, quote, from examination of several laborers and peasant witnesses, I have evidence to the effect that the very smallest percentage of this district were pro-Bolshevik, majority of laborers sympathizing with summoning of constituent assembly. Witnesses further stated that Bolshevik leaders did not represent Russian working classes, most of them being Jews, unquote. We'll be back with Ted Pike's article, Jewish Activists Created Communism, when Mark Dankos America returns on RBN. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as it crossed the hill.
We're back. This is Mark Ancosta there. They're coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you have any ideas or concerns or questions today, you can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. We've got a new address, by the way, at the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's an important housekeeping item. That's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can, of course, reach us online at www.republicbroadcasting.org, or you can give us a call at the office. Those are the ways of traditionally getting a hold of us at RBN. And, of course, as I've mentioned many, many, many times on this show, you can get Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, directly from this network, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. But if you have any questions or concerns for me today, give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. You know, as we think about the Republic Broadcasting Network and, of course, our fine friends at the American Free Press, I am reminded of the fact that these two outreaches, one electronic, one print, are virtually the only hope that we have, in conjunction with things like the Barnes Review, for getting the truth out to the American public in regard to what's really been happening. And one of the things that comes to my mind once more as I start re-engaging in guest recruitment for this show and doing some reading and research for future topics on this particular segment for RBN, it comes to mind that when we do battle as members of the populist American right who believe in the Constitution of this country, when we do appropriate political and cultural battle in these arenas, we really need to understand who the enemy is and what the context truly is of the struggle that we are presently engaged in. I'll get back to Ted Pike's article shortly this morning and also take a look at Mike Whitney's piece today for globalresearch.ca entitled Putin's Censored Press Conference. But I wanted to drive home this idea again that we need to understand the character of who and what it is that we're fighting. This gets into what should be a very interesting show tonight, by the way, for Hesham Talawi at Current Issues Television. I have Hesham's news release on tonight's very significant show that will involve Jerome Corsi being a part of Current Issues Television. Wanted to mention something about that just briefly so that many of you might call Dr. Talawi's show this evening at currentissues.tv and engage Jerome Corsi in appropriate questioning and conversation. This is Mark Dancost, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.